Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Among many challenges faced by Alaska lawmakers during a special session later this month will be what to do with the state's criminal justice laws. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
The focus of the policy debate is legislation passed last year, Senate Bill 91. It's a law that allowed some low-risk offenders to avoid jail time. It also changed sentencing, bail, and probation with the goal of reducing the number of repeat offenders. In addition, it funds drug treatment. Most categories of serious crime have risen in Alaska over the last 5 years. University of Alaska Anchorage Associate Professor Brad Merstall has looked at whether property crime is related to last year's law. In a word,
no.
Merstall notes that there hasn't been much time to study the law's effects.
I see no evidence in the trend data that I've looked at that would indicate that recent upticks in crime are attributable to the passage of SB 91.
There are other potential factors, like the opioid addiction epidemic, rising unemployment, and shrinking police forces. Republican Representative Charisse Millett described what she sees as one result of the law. Police officers face limits in making arrests.
We've taken a tool away from them. So instead of now arresting someone and doing a physical arrest and taking them down to the jail and booking them, they're arresting them by ticket or by citation and then giving them a summons to appear in court.
The law did downgrade drug possession from being a felony to a misdemeanor, so it no longer leads to arrests. But for 142 other types of Class C felonies, the law left arrests to officers' discretion. Merstall says the criminal justice system has multiple goals, including reducing recidivism. That may conflict with another goal, giving people a sense of retribution.
For the past generation, the imprisonment binge that we've been on hasn't been particularly effective, and in many instances may have even been counterproductive.
Governor Bill Walker has asked the legislature to pass a bill that would partially reverse some of the changes made last year. The bill that Walker placed on the agenda for the legislature's special session that starts on October 23rd would reintroduce jail sentences for C felonies of up to 1 year. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Area residents will get a preview of the F-35 fighters coming to Eielson Air Force Base. Air Force officials announced yesterday that an F-35 will be at Eielson this month for testing. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
The arrival of the F-35 Lightning II variant for testing in and around Eielson is a significant event, says Jim Dodson, president and CEO of the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation.
This is a big deal, and the Air Force recognizes this. That's why they sent out this announcement.
And that's why Eielson officials are inviting local, state, and Air Force leaders to the base on October 17th to learn more about the aircraft and the mission it'll undertake when two F-35 squadrons are stationed here beginning in 2020. Dodson says the new units will bring an estimated 5,000 people into the area and many millions of dollars worth of economic benefit.
You know, 5,000 people in a community of 100,000 that, you know, all at one time. That's a significant deal.
Work is underway on $500 million worth of new facilities at Eielson to accommodate the F-35s and the personnel to fly and maintain them. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
A Two Rivers man is dead of apparent carbon monoxide poisoning. Alaska State Troopers report that 49-year-old Christopher Alexander was found not breathing at his home on Thoreau Drive off Chena Hot Springs Road after 2:30 a.m. Tuesday, and that responding medics were unable to revive him. Trooper spokeswoman Megan Peters says a gasoline-powered generator was running at the residence.
It was described to me that it was in a mechanical room, and it was partially in the room and partially outside, but how it was positioned, I really don't know, and I don't know what kind of ventilation, if any, was there.
Carbon monoxide is an odorless, colorless gas produced by combustion, which, when inhaled, causes flu-like symptoms, progressing to incapacitation and death. Peter says troopers received information that there had been another person in the home who was potentially exposed to the generator fumes.
There was certainly a concern that that person may be incapacitated, and so they searched the area to see if they could locate another individual, and no other individual was found.
Peter says the person believed to have been at the home has active arrest warrants stemming from unrelated incidents. She adds that foul play or suicide are not suspected in Alexander's carbon monoxide poisoning. Alexander's body was sent to the state medical examiner for autopsy. A federal court has affirmed National Park Service authority to regulate rivers flowing through Alaska parks. The ruling issued this week by a three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is in a long-running case filed by Anchorage hunter John Sturgeon. Sturgeon contests a National Park Service ban on hovercraft use in Yukon Charley Rivers National Preserve. The U.S. Supreme Court considered the case in 2016, remanding it back to the Ninth Circuit. And in this week's ruling, the appeals court again backed Park Service authority. Sturgeon points to disconnect between the two courts.
Supreme Court said over and over again, Alaska is different by law, that our laws are different, that our parks, preserves, and refuges are supposed to be managed differently than the lower 48.
The Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, or ANILCA, that established the Yukon Charley Preserve and many other federal parks in Alaska, allows NPS system-wide regulations like the hovercraft ban to be applied to public lands inside Alaska parks. This week's Ninth Circuit Court ruling adds that the precedent set by the Katie John subsistence case gives the United States an implied reservation of water rights on federal lands in Alaska, rendering the rivers passing through parks public property, a conclusion Sturgeon rejects.
The federal government should not have control over state-owned navigable waters. I think that's the bottom line.
The environmental law firm Trustees for Alaska is sided with the Park Service in the Sturgeon case. Attorney Katie Strong says this week's ruling clarifies a difference between river waters and other park inholdings like state and Alaska native-owned lands, which are not subject to NPS regulation.
Waterways flowing through the parks are public lands, and they are to be regulated by the Park Service to protect the parks as Congress intended when establishing them.
Strong says the latest Sturgeon case ruling means the Park Service hovercraft ban remains in place.
This means we're just where we've been the whole time, with the Park Service regulating waterways within the park to protect the resources.
The Sturgeon case and the broader fight over control of Alaska rivers running through federal lands may not be over, as two of the Ninth Circuit justices left room for reinterpretation, noting that reserved water rights are about volume of water for use by the federal government, and that this case has, quote, nothing to do with that, unquote. The opinion penned by Justice Jacqueline Nguyen goes on to say that the navigability issue would be better analyzed under the Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution. Sturgeon says the opinion gives him hope.
She used a term that's using reserved water rights arguments like driving a round peg through a square hole. And maybe we shouldn't be doing that.
Sturgeon says he's considering another appeal, noting that his case is backed by the state, numerous groups, and many Alaskans. I'm Dan Bross.